You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll go right to our phone lines where Mark Schlereth awaits his weekly appearance. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mr. Schlereth, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing good. I'm not as good as you guys. You guys got a victory. My Broncos took one on the chin to Indy, but all things considered, I'm doing well. Thank you.
So your Broncos, let's start there. Quarterback, the Broncos clearly feel like they have their guy. The coach and the quarterback are aligned with Bo Nix. We had a lot of questions after week one where people were like, does Josh McDaniels know what he's doing with Drake May? We feel a little bit better this week. I know you were an over kind of guy on the season. I'm sure you saw some of the highlights and production from Drake May. Did we overreact with the questions last week, or are we going to overreact with the excitement of how good Drake May is this week?
Well, I mean, I think always there's an overreaction week one, right? There's a lot of things that don't pan out on week one. And one of the things I took away from week one as I went through every game is there was a lot of inefficiency on the offensive side of the ball. You know, there's a lot of, hey, man, we haven't done this live. The preseason games are vanilla, this, that, and the other. And it goes all the way down to just like where you snap the ball on motion. If you're giving your guy the best entry point, you know, if it's a tight end or a fullback, slide across the formation, does he have the best entry point to have success in picking up the defensive end? Or if you snap it too late, now he's got to dig that guy out, and all of a sudden that guy collapses. And so there's a lot of little nuanced things in week one that I think, you know, kind of bit most teams in the butt. And then week two looked a lot better, in Denver, looked a lot better with you guys. I thought there was a couple things. I thought there was great balance. They called the game with great balance. What do you have, 23 attempts and 19 completions?
Yep.
But I thought that there was great balance and there was a great variety. Now, he had 10 scrambles or 10 runs, but Stevenson was unbelievable, not only carrying the ball, but I thought Stevenson was unbelievable catching the ball. Big-time performance, big-time rotation in the backfield there. One of the great plays, the tight end on a leak play down the sideline. And that was one where if it's a little bit better ball, it should have been a touchdown. But some really nice plays, some big-time plays on the offense. And you got to feel like, hey, man, after the first week, we cured some of those timing issues, some of those nuanced issues with our offense and played a hell of a lot better, a hell of a lot cleaner game in week two.
So, Stink, to us, it was more of a get better, not just an entirely get right game. And I think the Patriots showed that they certainly can play better. But do you believe this is the step in the right direction game for them, or is this more anomalous given the fact that the Dolphins are an absolute disaster with a dead man walking for a coach?
Yeah, well, I'd put a lot more credence and a lot more weight into New England figuring things out than I would be. It's just like there was a desperation after you guys jumped up. Was it 14-0 you jumped up or whatever it was?
Supposed to be.
They came back and made it 15-14 or whatever it was, like 17-14. Like you came back and responded, you know, and they ended up like they looked horrible early in that game. And then they started hitting some, you know, started hitting the sideline with some swing passes, some bubble screen type of things, some access throws to the outside. Then it opened up the middle of the football field, and they hit some, you know, Achan, and they did a bunch of things pretty well, and they built up a little bit of a lead against you guys. And then you know, be able to come back, settle things down, and stay true and not just get panicked over the fact that you're losing to Miami, and it's been a house of horror for you guys down there in Miami. I thought that said a lot about your football team, kind of how you respond to the adversity.
Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark, while we feel better about the quarterback position this week than we did a week ago, a lot of NFL teams are not feeling great. Joe Burrow gets hurt. Jaden Daniels is hurt. J.J. McCarthy. Injuries starting to pile up at the position. And I wanted to ask you, as a guy who made his living in the trenches and I think loves the physicality of football, when you see these injuries and potential backup versus backup games, Do you think we ever trend to a world where, like, the quarterback is not allowed to get hit?
Yeah, I hope not. Man, I hope not. And we've already trended that way, right? Hit him. You know, you can't hit him below the thighs. You can't hit him above the chest. You can't touch his helmet. You can't, like, it's unbelievable. And part of me just wonders if, like, this is going to sound so, you know, old man with black socks, you know, shouting the clouds. But part of me just wonders if one, the guys aren't calloused and they're not used to getting hit. They don't know how to get hit. They like, there's part of me that wonders about that. You know, it's funny. I had a conversation last year. I was calling the game with Roger Goodell, and Roger comes up to me, you know, on the field before kickoff and says, what are we going to do? All these quarterback injuries. And I'm like, well, why don't we start to practice and teach guys how to block and teach guys how to run the ball and put an emphasis on protection and running the football and doing all the things we do. I mean, like, that stuff is important, and you can't get the nuanced aspect of that. And I tell this to people all the time. Playing offensive line is the most skilled position in football, and everybody kind of rolls their eyes. And I go, give me one other position in any sport where the lesser athlete, right, the guy is faced a guy that's the equal size and equal strength, but he's exponentially worse athlete, and you're supposed to win 100% of your battle. 65 out of 65 times I'm supposed to block you, and if I give up one sack, I'm a piece of garbage, and you go to the Pro Bowl. Name one other position. If a 6'2 point guard blows by a 7-foot center, we don't say, hey, that 7-foot center is no good. Let's pull him out of here. No, you got a good matchup, and they won. And so it drives me crazy. The nuance of playing that position is so freaking important. And what do? Hey, let's not put on pads. Let's not touch each other. Let's not hit each other. Let's not have, you know, understand the footwork that's involved. You have got to be such a technician to play the position well. And we've eliminated it all. And then we wonder why our freaking quarterbacks are hurt all the time. Like, yeah. It's mind-boggling. Like, it's so stupid to me that we sit there and go, hey, scratch our head. What can we do? Nothing, I guess. I mean, we don't know. You know, we have no idea what's going on. I can tell you what's going on, but you don't want to listen.
Yeah, there's a lot of former players and football hardos out there like nodding their head going, oh, that Schlereth guy's making too much sense.
Right.
good on you, Mark. Speaking of the trenches and hitting people, I know you were a big believer in the Patriots offensive line heading into the season. Again, overreaction Monday to week one. Oh, I don't know about these kids. Week two, left side of the line, two rookies for the Patriots come out with clean sheets and get great PFF grades. How'd you think they played?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't ever put any merit into PFF, but I thought they played well. I think both those guys come off the ball. Hey, listen, you're going to get beat occasionally, right? You're going to make some mistakes occasionally. As long as you make them going 100 miles an hour and trying to shorten somebody's neck, it's going to work out. And one of the things I say about playing offensive line all the time is we're kind of a secret mushroom society. Nobody really knows what we're doing except us. Like, even the head coaches most of the time don't really know what we're doing. But I think one of the big things for me when it comes to playing that position, as long as we're all communicating and playing together, all five of us can be doing the wrong thing. As long as we're all committed to it and doing the wrong thing together, usually the play is going to work out. And so that's really what it comes down to. It comes down to how do we communicate it, and then how do we execute it? And if we communicate it well, the odds are we're probably going to execute it pretty well too.
Mark, before I let you go, we got to ask you, AFC West last night, you had a game that included Tom Brady, the owner, Tom Brady, the broadcaster, Tom Brady, kind of a coworker of yours in the coach's booth. What was your reaction to that?
I didn't put a lot of merit into it. I've had a lot of people ask me about it. I think it's a bad look for the NFL, right? I mean, it's a bad look, but like, what do you think is going to happen? You know, I've got Raiders Washington this week. Well, Brady had Washington Giants first week. So do you think all of a sudden Brady's going to be able to call over to the Raiders or talk to Pete Carroll and say, hey, yeah, let me give you the inside scoop of what they're doing so you can exploit it? Like, the bottom line is every one of us in the league runs the same plays, right? We all run. Everybody runs curl flat. Everybody runs smash. Everybody runs, you know, Yankee concept or Mills concept. Everybody runs the same crap. You may call it something. You may name it something like Viper, because that's a cool name. Like, hey, we're going to call it Viper. Oh, all right. But it's all the same crap. So I just don't know how much of an advantage you're going to get. And when Brady walks in there, you know, if there's anything that's proprietary, which there isn't, you know, then they won't tell him. But, I just laugh about it from the standpoint of, like, what is he going to do? Hey, man, I found their secret list of plays. Here's the, you know, the magic plays they're going to run. I think that part is a little bit silly.
All right, Mark, appreciate you joining us. Appreciate you bringing the energy and the honesty. I don't know if you're an energy drink guy or if that's au natural, but I appreciated it.
No, I'm water. Water and black coffee. That's where I'm at.
All right, Mark, we'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Thanks, Mark.
That was Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Fitzy, I'm glad I lobbed up the quarterback question for him. That was quite a passionate response, as you said. There are a lot of football people, hardos uh-huh. like me, that are like, yeah, yeah, they need to practice more. Hit quarterbacks more. They're only making $65 million. Hit them in July.
And don't ever say that I don't do anything for you, because you know I specifically mentioned PFF just so I could. I had a feeling he was going to be like, oh, PFF can PFF off. And I saw you pumping your fist when he was like, oh, yeah, I don't give a flying flip what PFF says.
So that was Mark Schlereth here on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we will break down Mark Schlereth's plan to keep quarterbacks healthier and see if it makes a lot of sense or if 32 owners were like, that's the dumbest financial plan I've ever heard. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons.